All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat real quick. I actually don't have anything off the pregame, believe it or not. So let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Grinnedom is on. Why Not Me is on. My Broken Heart is on. Judy Anita is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Milwaukee James is on. See, Granted 2468 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Spoken 007 is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Sun Woo 45 is on. Patriot of the North is on. Dave Souders is on. Drummer for Jesus is on. Gila K is on. K4VMS is on. Peg Joe is on. Alaska Man 1165 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Sixlin is on. Key Lime 13 is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Volvo 960 is on. Genie Malfeasy is on. Jess Jesse is on. Let's see here. Scooter 8887 is on. Joe Enns is on. Stephen Thomas is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Sexy Pony's on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Let me see here. Who did I miss here? Conservative Waffles on. Lisa Kinzer 11960 is on. Confederate One is on. Let me see. Scrolling down. Snod Dodd 311 is on. Daynow 59 is on. If I didn't say Chopper Supernut yet, Chopper Supernut is on, just in case. Hassle Free TV is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Drummer for Jesus is on. Ezra Dirk, something like that, is on. What up, bro? We're back to you. Let me see here. Scrolling down. JD Wool is on. Harley 913 is on. Waterline 46 is on. Black Bar 201 is on. Charlie 340 is on. Let me see. Scrolling down. Jacqueline S. Davis is on. Lynn Custer is on. Let's see. Who'd I miss? DK Jackson 1203 is on. All right. Oh, I see Peg McGroin right popped in right there at the bottom. Peg McGroin, McGroin Nation is on. All right, let me hop right through this. First of all, I'm sorry I got the RFK Jr. confirmation thing wrong last night. It's because I saw the hearing where it was 53-47 in favor of RFK. I thought that was the confirmation. It wasn't. It was the vote to send it to confirmation. I mean, how many more layers do we freaking need? He has to get out of committee. He got out of the committee by a one-vote margin because they voted along party lines. And then voted along party lines again at the hearing for it to go to a hearing for his confirmation. So now he is officially confirmed, and it was 51-46. 51-46 with Mitch McConnell being the sole dissenting Republican. I'm assuming that another Republican simply just didn't show up to vote, which I want to see which one that is, unless I'm missing it, and it was 52-46, but I think it was 51-46. Is I want to see, and that would mean also a Democrat no-showed the vote, and that would be for politically expedient purposes. All right, so we got to launch them with lawsuits because this is all the Democrats have to try to slow Trump down. And again, I won't go into too long of a dissertation, but as usual, it's drag Republicans into blue courts and blue jurisdictions like we went over last night, like we've gone over every show. This is what Democrats do. And then all the Democrats, after we lose these, whether they're civil or criminal hearings, call us convicted felons, or you lost a lawsuit when we're actually solely being tried by Democrats, it would be like us trying Democrats at the RNC. If we had an RNC court and we tried Democrats in the RNC court, and we said, see, they were found guilty in a court. Of course, it was the RNC court, but they were found guilty in a court. And that's all that they're doing is they're dragging these cases in front of known Democratic Party contributors, known Democratic Party activists, known Democratic Party acolytes, even ankle grabbers, and judges I'm talking about, and then dragging those cases in front of them because these cases don't have any jurors involved in it. So it's just blue judges. So all of this off the Gateway Pundit, just a summary of the current cases. Federal judge extends pause on Trump's move to put thousands of USAID workers on leave. So last night we already chronicled that the decision to unfreeze Trump's federal spending freeze, that's now lost in the appellate court. That's gone. So this one, now this was the other one where Trump is basically with the February 6th ultimatum, of course, 6-7 days passed now because of these injunctions. And now this injunction has been extended. They can extend it as long as they want. Eventually they can no longer extend it and it will go to another court, maybe to the Supreme Court, and it will be overturned because the executive branch has the right to govern what? The executive branch. There's no federal judge. I saw somebody say, an inferior court judge can stop the president of the United States from governing the executive branch. And J.D. Vance has already advanced the notion of just completely ignoring this, because you can. They have no jurisdiction over the executive branch. They only have authority over laws that are put in place by Congress. They can't make laws themselves. There's nothing that says in any law. Notice how the Democrats always come up with these very vague statements. Donald Trump is unconstitutional. Exactly how is he unconstitutional? Donald Trump is tearing down the Constitution. Donald Trump is breaking the law. Tell us exactly what law he's breaking. Notice how they never say it on this podcast and other good podcasts. We'll give you very specifics. We'll give you specifics on how Democrats are breaking the law. I will name the statute when a Democrat is breaking the law. They can't ever do this. They just say that Donald Trump is acting in an unconstitutional fashion. Okay, what part of the Constitution are you violating? He's breaking the law. What law is he breaking? They never name what law he's breaking, because he's not. And of course, all the idiots that are leftists, that are pundits, are just simple Democratic Party voters, and they are simple people. A simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh where it was going. Proverbs 14:15. But anyway, they'll just eat up. I was just told by CNN that, or told by Jamie Raskin or Maxine Waters, people on our cover tonight, because they are losing in every way, shape, or form. If Maxine Waters tells me, or Liz Warren, Pocahontas tells me, who's a pathological degenerate liar. If she tells me something and says Trump is unconstitutional, Trump is breaking the law. Well, if he's breaking the law, why don't you have him arrested? If he's breaking the law, then why is no law enforcement agency actually going to try to arrest him or even mentioning that he's breaking the law, because he simply is not breaking the law? All right, so these courts, here's three cases. Federal judge extends pause on Trump's move to put thousands of USAID workers on leave. We already know what happened here is Trump gave the February 6th ultimatum, but it was blocked by the injunction, where Trump says either show up to work or resign. Now, what Trump is trying to do is lower the amount of people working at USAID, believe it or not, from like 14,000, because it's an international agency. You might be wondering how it is. I think Aaron turned it up for me last time. It was 4,000 DOE workers.
Yeah.
How in the world could USAID have 14,000? Because they have international offices you and I are paying for every year. And we're almost $37 trillion in debt. And we're paying for these international offices, all of them for USAID. Well, this judge has now extenuated the quote unquote pause, but it's really an injunction, to block Trump from being able to get rid of these USAID workers. And again, USAID is largely it's specific in this case that it is the correct verbiage, but that's simply emblematic of where we're actually going. Because the 4,000 DOE workers are about to be cut too. And there'll be another hearing over that. And then after that, Doe showed up where today? Doe showed up at the IRS today. So people are going to be looking to get Doge there. Then you have simpleton idiot Maxine Waters in a congressional hearing with Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, asking Jerome Powell will he open the door when Doe shows up? Does she not realize, because she actually owns a bank? Do you know that? I'm sure she uses the money launderer with her husband. Does she not realize that the Federal Reserve is immune from Doge because they're a private company? This is all, this was the same nitwit who had the banks all lined up in front of her saying, what are you going to do about all of this student loan debt? And they all had to tell her that they got out of the student loan game when it was nationalized, taken over by the feds 10 years prior to the hearing that she's in. And then she's worried about Doge showing up on the doorstep of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is a private bank. It's a consortium of international bankers set up by the Rothschilds. It doesn't even apply. Democrats, how can you be a Democrat? I hope you're watching your Democrat right now. We're on Christian Television Network and all the social media platforms. I hope that you've stumbled upon this, because I want you to see how stupid you are for following the stupid. Because who's more stupid? The stupid person or the one who follows the stupid person? All right, so that case has been put on hold. I mean, the injunction has been extenuated, where Donald Trump, which I don't even like to use the verbiage because it's all wrong, but I'm going to have to, where Donald Trump can't lay off USAID workers yet. And by the way, can't is not even true because he could do it right now. Next one. Obama judge issues nationwide injunction against Trump's birthright citizenship executive order. The Constitution on birthright citizenship simply means for those who are born in this country are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. So if a French couple, and by the way, the Chinese have made a national industry out of flying pregnant women. And you're not supposed to fly when you're past like 8 months, nine, whatever the trimester is. Did they do it? Of course, because they run their own airlines, because the PLA and CCP runs the private airline system inside of China. So they fly over, they're eight, nine, you know, months pregnant, a week from giving birth. They fly them over, they give birth. This is thousands per year this happens, thousands per year. They fly over, they give birth to the United States, they have birthright citizenship and fly right back to China, but now they have a child who's a citizen of the United States of America, so they can freely come and go now as they please in the United States of America. Isn't that great? I'm sure that's what the founders meant by birthright citizenship, right? I'm sure that's what they meant. But that's how the Democrats enforce it that way because it benefits them politically, and then we can get into the whole, you know, trying to turn America into a third world country because if you're a third world country, you're more easily globally governed. But anyway, so the only people that have birthright citizenship are those who are under the jurisdiction of the United States of America. So if you are a citizen of the United States or a naturalized citizen of the United States and you give birth to the United States, yes, your child is a citizen. Not if you illegally cross the border, pop out a puppy, and say, oh, this person's now a citizen of the United States. That's what's been going on for generations. And Tom, are you saying that you would remove the citizenship off of all of those people? Yes, without hesitation. Because that is what the Constitution actually says. But an Obama judge has put a nationwide injunction against Trump's birthright citizens executive order, which was removing birthright citizenship, except for those who are under the jurisdiction of the United States of America. So number three case, this will go into a little more detail. This is popping today. Breaking, Biden judge blocks Trump's executive order, restricting, this is what the Democrats are doing again, just dragging these cases in front of judges that they know were appointed by Biden, were appointed by Obama, blue judges, activist judges. Breaking, Biden judge blocks, judge shopping, in other words, Biden judge blocks Trump's executive order restricting federal aid to hospitals that perform transgender surgery. Yeah, I know Will wants his money, Aaron wants his money, I want my money, and you want your money going to lopping off penises of 12-year-olds. But this judge, who's so passionate, can you imagine about being so passionate about penises being lopped off? I mean, that's his passion life. I wonder if he dreams about it. I just want to do it. Because that's what Gavin Newsom's wife and Gavin Newsom are so passionate about, cutting breasts off and cutting testicles off of 14-year-olds. I mean, imagine that being the passion of your life. So this judge now has blocked the executive order, which said Trump's just simply said, we're not going to give any federal dollars to it. Okay, you can pay for your own. You want to lop off your penis? Go pay for your own lopping procedure. You can do that. There's no federal dollars going to it. But, of course, an Obama judge, correction, in this case, a Biden judge, previous case, an Obama judge. But in this case, a Biden judge named Brendan Herson has blocked Donald Trump in being able to withhold federal dollars from hospitals who want to perform penisectomies on 14-year-olds. All right, so here's the Fox News story. Benny Johnson video breaking. Judge Brendan Herson, appointed by Biden, has blocked President Trump's ban on transgender surgeries for minors. Play for me, Will.
All right, breaking right now. A federal judge has just paused President Trump's executive order restricting gender-affirming care for people under the age of 19. A group of patients' families suing to block the order. It is now on hold while the case works its way through the court. So that is the latest on that. We've seen a lot of this, obviously, push and pull in the court system as all of this moves very quickly. Also.
All right. So we already covered all that. Let's move on to the RFK Jr. story. The Vigilant Fox video. Mitch McConnell loses it after RFK Jr. is confirmed. He's actually confirmed instead of what I said last night. He's actually confirmed now. Takes a final shot at him in a bitter statement. Vigilant Fox video. Play for me, Will.
There was one very significant defection here in the United States Senate. That was Republican Mitch McConnell, the former GOP leader, someone who just put out a scathing statement about RFK Jr.'s views about the issue of vaccine. I'm going to read you part of it, Pamela. He said that he noted that he's a childhood survivor of polio, and he talked about how vaccines have saved millions of lives around the world. He said that he will not condone the relitigation of proven cures, and neither will millions of Americans. He goes on to say that referring to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a record of trafficking in dangerous conspiracy theories and eroding trust in public health institutions does not entitle Mr. Kennedy to lead these important efforts, referring to efforts to try to treat illnesses and disease. He goes on to talk about the efforts to try to deliver on vaccines. He says Mr. Kennedy failed to prove he is the best possible person to lead America's largest health agency.
Hopefully we get to it later, because there's, of course, a much larger story behind vaccines and what vaccines are truly all about. Because right now, vaccines are being developed in four countries. 23andMe is collecting people's information and selling it to foreign countries who are developing quote-unquote vaccines. Now, it's kind of weird. We've already chronicled it on the show that Moderna already had a vaccine for COVID-19. This has now been proven. They already had it. And, of course, Moderna is also NIH, where you have the fascist collaboration of governance and corporatism. But anyway, there's a much larger perspective on the development of vaccines, because what it's really all about it's really about eugenics more than, I mean, that's really what it's all about. Now, there's simpletons that don't know that, who espouse vaccines. But really what it's about is eugenics. It's about mass killing of humanity. That's what vaccines are truly all about. And right now, if you go on to 23andMe, you sign a contract. I'm just saying this now. I might get to it. I might not later on. It's already 9:27. It's not looking good. But anyway, and the reason why I'm saying this is Mitch McConnell didn't vote for RFK, basically because RFK is against certain vaccinations. And all that RFK has ever said about vaccinations is that he doesn't want these companies granted indemnity. Now, when the moment that they were granted indemnity, now get this number, guys. You may not have heard this before, because the first time I heard it was today. When we went from 4 to 70 vaccinations required for your children, required by recommendation by the CDC, which makes it sort of a requirement, even though it's recommended, because you can't get in school without them. So when we went from 4 to 70 vaccinations, roughly, these are rough numbers, when we went from very few vaccines to over 70 vaccinations, it was the moment that Ronald Reagan gave vaccine companies indemnity, which means they can't be sued for the harms they cause. Now, I don't believe that indemnity, even given to them by Ronald Reagan, would not allow them to be sued if they lied about the development of those vaccinations. I don't believe that indemnity would cover them. But again, that would be a court case. So the moment they were given indemnity, our kids went from receiving 4 vaccinations to over 70 vaccinations. Isn't that weird how that worked out? I guess that's just another coincidence. But Mitch McConnell just regurgitates talking points. Dangerous conspiracy theories. Name one. Name the conspiracy theory. I mean, we've outlined what happened with measles. Measles disappeared long before the vaccination for measles. He talks about polio. This isn't even from right-wing sources. This is from the World Health Organization, which is the Gestapo left, has had to acknowledge that most of the polio cases that have occurred are from the Gates vaccination, where they also found sterilizing agents inside of a vaccination for polio. What does polio have to do with sperm counts and sterilization? So it's a eugenics program to lower birth rates and to kill people. That's what it is. But Mitch McConnell regurgitates the usual talking points, because he is part of the globalist system, either willingly or unwillingly, wittingly or unwittingly, one of the two. All right, so going on the tariffs now. I know I'm jumping all over the place right now, but I'm just covering the major stories. All right, going on the tariffs. Rapid Response 47 video. National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett last year, get these numbers now. Last year, of course, under the Biden administration, U.S. companies paid foreign countries $370 billion in tax. All right, and they paid us $57 billion in tax. So we're one country paying $370 billion in tax, And everybody we traded with paid $57 billion total. We're one country. That sounds like UN numbers. That sounds like NATO numbers, doesn't it? When we're the only ones that actually contribute and we're the only ones really sending significant forces to ever fight in any of these convoluted globalist caused military industrial complex caused wars. So we're one country paying $370 billion in taxes, which is tariffs, and everybody else, $57 billion in total between all the countries we're trading with. Rapid response 47 video. Play for me, Will.
One of the things that we noticed, sir, when you asked us to look into the numbers was that last year, U.S. companies paid foreign governments $370 billion in tax. And then we in the U.S. Asked them to pay us tax for what they did, and the U.S. gathered $57 billion. And so we paid them $370 billion, and they paid us $57 billion. And when people say, oh, you're doing this tariff thing, how could you do that? Why would you do that? It's so unfair. Let's think about this. They have 3/4 of world GDP. We have 1/4 of world GDP, and we're paying them $370 billion, and they're paying us $57 billion.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, yeah, you think about the numbers right there. Those other countries represent 3/4 of the world's GDP, gross domestic product. 3/4 of it. We represent 1/4, and we pay total of $370 billion in taxes, and the people who own 3/4 of the world's GDP pay $57 billion. And everybody wonders if Donald Trump is right about the unfairness of the tariff system. And not to mention that all those other companies... countries collapse without trading the United States. The United States does not collapse if we don't trade with Canada, if we don't trade with Mexico. Mexico's 0.08% of our GDP. Canada is 1%. We don't need 1.8%. And by the way, everything we buy from Canada, we have for ourselves. The only reason why we buy it from Canada is as a charitable program of $200 billion going to Canada. We don't need their wood. We don't need their fuel. We don't need anything. They have also whiskey and stuff like that, but I hate alcohol, so I don't want to talk about it. We don't need that either. In more ways than one. Adam Hughes' video, Trump Effect. All 13 Canadian premiers, which are their governors, gave up on Prime Minister, also a.k.a. Governor, Justin Trudeau, and are going to the White House today to negotiate with Trump and with the Trump administration on tariffs. Play for me, Will.
CTV News has learned that all 13 of Canada's premiers who are currently all in Washington will be going to the White House as a group later today as they continue to make their case to try and avert a trade war between Canada and the United States. There are a couple of unprecedented things here. First of all, we've never seen all 13 premiers go to Washington at the same time, at once, together as a group. That's number one. Number two, now a meeting for them at the White House. We don't know if President Trump will attend. Could be the Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. A lot of unknowns here, but they will be going to the White House. We know the premiers in Washington, they've been meeting with anyone that they can in terms of U.S. lawmakers, lobbyists, business leaders over the last couple of days. Here's more from Doug Ford, who is the Premier of Ontario.
They don't realize how resilient Canadians are, and we take pride in being Canadian. That doesn't mean that we can't have an incredible trade relationship with our closest ally and friend. And if you talk to the American people, again, they love Canadians. Canadians love Americans. We're so interconnected on supply chains and everything else, and even on the culture, we're connected. We need to get this deal done and move forward as quickly as possible.
All right, so there you go. Now, I think it's funny, though, because Aaron brought up this point. Maybe we can just go province by province and add each one of them to a state and make each one of them a state. So we can end up with 13 additional states. Will was saying 63 states of the United States of America. So, you know, maybe we can just go that way and just go one at a time. And I love how it was said, too, meeting with anyone they can. I want to say this. I've only been to Canada one time, and that was to go skiing flying into Vancouver, skiing at Whistler. Canadians were very nice and are good people. I mean, and very similar to the United States, but too much like Australians in that they will do anything their government tells them to do. If their government tells them to bend over, they bend over, not only bend over, grab their ankles, and not only grab their ankles, spread their butt cheeks. That's I'm sorry if you're Canadian, and I know not all, that's painting them with a broad brush. I know not all Canadians were like that because pastors got arrested for keeping their churches open up there. So obviously there's exceptions. And by the way, I will say the same thing about the people of Illinois as I am about Canada. Okay, and again, there's exceptions there because there was millions of people that voted for, hundreds of thousands, whatever it was, that voted for Donald Trump and live in Illinois. So it's painting with a broad brush, and of course, there's always exceptions to every rule. But I just love how they will meet with anybody they can, but allegedly it's so prideful, they want to you know, show that they're strong Canadians, but they'll do anything to avert this trade war because they realize that 1% of our GDP relies on Canada. And we could just cancel that and just open up our own oil fields. I mean, have you ever taken Alaska and put it over the continental United States? The size of Alaska is bigger than, it's 75% or more of our entire country. And there's so much oil up there. We have more than Saudi Arabia. And that's not even counting Texas and the Dakotas. We have more oil than Saudi Arabia and everybody else combined. We don't need Canadian oil. We don't need it. I mean, listen, we never should have shut down the pipeline to begin with coming from Canada, which was hysterical anyway, because the reason why we shut it down was for environmental reasons. So CO2 at the end of the rainbow of a refining oil ends up putting CO2 in the atmosphere. So instead, what we did was load it on trains and trucks and drive it down from Canada. That's what happened. That's what happened when we shut down the pipeline. I mean, that's what happened. So imagine being stupid enough to be a Democrat. Oh, we won. We shut down the pipeline. We shut it down. Remember how excited they were? And what they did was they transported the same amount of oil via carbon burning trains and trucks. What a bunch of idiots. How do you not slap yourself in the face if you're a Democrat? Hey, I did get to this one. There we go. O'Keefe Media. It's the latest coming out of James O'Keefe as a Treasury employee. And again, I just give you the warning. I'll keep it short tonight. If she's too hot, man, walk away. It's OMG. It's James O'Keefe. But O'Keefe Media catches another one, this time a Biden sycophant who works in the Treasury named Nathaniel Johnson. Play for me, Will.
That's when 23andMe comes in. I should do that.
You shouldn't do that, though. Do not give your information to them. They sell it to other people.
Do they sell it to Russia?
They sell it to the spies. There's a clause in their contract that basically says, like, we can give your information to our shareholders so that they can do something. All of their shareholders are, like, pharmaceutical companies. But some of those pharmaceutical companies are companies based in other countries, and those pharmaceutical companies in other countries are like the property of like the Ministry of Defense of Russia, or like owned by China.
All right, so there you go. And Will, you can go right to the next one, 23andMe profile. So I just covered on a vaccine. We may get more into it later. He basically espouses everything that we already know about the Department of Treasury, that it's manned by 98% Biden supporters and that everybody's flummoxed inside of the Treasury and feels like they're being violated, blah, blah, blah. But I'm focusing, even fixating on the vaccine portion of what he said. And I'm shocked that he even acknowledged it, because I'm sure he's 3, 4, 5 times vaccinated himself for COVID-19. So he's just talking about this woman who's too hot for him, I guarantee you. As he's an effeminate bearded man who gets all of his pictures on social media like this. That's how you know. Anyway, so and in some way probably is attracted to men, but I'll leave it at that. But anyway, so he says, make sure you don't give your DNA to these people. You're looking at what it says here. Your DNA has a lot to say about yourself. So again, quoting 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting in verse 2, 3, 4, and 5. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, like a woman in travail having a child. And they shall not escape. But ye brethren, not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So there you go. They want your DNA for your safety. But the problem is that when you sign up for 23andMe and you give them your DNA, you're actually signing a contract that says that they can share that DNA with their shareholders, and those shareholders are pharmaceutical companies who are right now trying to, now the disguise is The mirage is they're trying to develop vaccines specific for Asian people, vaccines specific for whites and blacks and women and men and all other nationalities. They're saying they want to develop vaccines for that, but no, what they're doing is developing the viruses to give to those people so that then they can sell the vaccines to solve the virus, even though it won't solve the virus, just like the COVID-19. That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
So don't give your DNA to these people. Why would you ever give your DNA to anybody anyway? I don't know. All right, let's go to the border. Bill Melugin video. I've covered a lot of illegal immigration related stories around the country. I'm just going to sum this up and I'm going to read you the details if we need it afterwards. But Massachusetts takes the cake. Play it for me, Will.
Well, Dana, it's hard to believe there are any jurisdictions out there that wouldn't cooperate with ICE when it comes to illegal aliens charged with forcibly raping children. But in Massachusetts, it's just routine. Take a look at this case. ICE Boston just announcing they arrested this Guatemalan illegal alien, charged in Massachusetts with 3 counts of aggravated child rape and 3 counts of forcible rape of a child. So the question is, why was he on the streets, right? Well, ICE says their detainer request on him was ignored by the Essex County Superior Court due to sanctuary policy. The locals released him into the community on bail without any notice to ICE. In a statement, the director of ICE Boston says in part, quote, Jose Fernando Perez has been charged with some horrific crimes against a minor in our Commonwealth. He is exactly the type of alien we are targeting with our worst first policy. He posed a significant danger to the children of Massachusetts, and we will not tolerate such a threat to our community. ICE Boston also announcing the arrest of this Turkish illegal alien charged in Massachusetts with assault and battery against an intellectually disabled person and witness intimidation. But ICE says their detainer on him was also ignored by the sanctuary city of Somerville. He had also been released into the public. Elsewhere around the U.S., ICE Seattle arrested this Salvadoran illegal alien wanted in his home country for aggravated homicide. Here in Los Angeles, ICE arrested this Guatemalan illegal alien charged with sexual assault and rape with a gun. And in Colorado, the DEA announced their top 10 arrests of illegal immigrants in recent days, including several affiliated with Tren de Aragua and others with egregious crimes like kidnapping, child sexual assault, and fentanyl trafficking. And Dana, I was talking to a law enforcement source in Massachusetts about the child rape case that I referenced, and I asked, like, there's got to be some sort of a catch here, right? Forget about cooperating with ICE. How does somebody charged with so many counts of aggravated, forcible child rape even get released on bail in the first place? The response I got was, quote, welcome to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We'll send it back to you.
Well, they're fine.
So welcome to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the only state that frequently releases illegal aliens, still are right now as we speak, charged with, this is a report from today or yesterday, charged with aggravated child rape. So what happens is the guy gets charged with aggravated child rape, right? And there's why would he ever be released? Why is there any bond? But an ICE detainer is put on him. But this even happened under the Biden administration when ICE wasn't run by Tom Holman. Even ICE in its dilapidated, degenerated state was putting ICE detainers on illegal child rapists in Massachusetts. They're releasing them. It's as if they want children to be raped. I guess once you're an abortionist, you're always an abortionist. You just don't care about kids. Because even under the Biden administration, of course, under the Biden administration, this was happening. And now Massachusetts is just continuing on. So when you have somebody charged with aggravated child rape, which I don't know what constitutes aggravated child rape in the state of Massachusetts, but I would assume it has to do with age and damage done via the rape. And why would he ever be let out to begin with? Because in the state of Florida, that's a life felony. So I'm wondering, the 30 years, why would you ever even be granted a bond to get out anyway? And then in the ICE detainer would guarantee that he can't bond out, and that's disregarded by the state of Massachusetts. It's just as if they want children to be raped, which of course they, you know what? Your actions tell you what you want, because if you're somebody who has supported the open southern border and the facilitation of 340,000 missing kids into sex labor, into sex trafficking and labor trafficking, then that is what you want. It is. It's what you want. AOC wants kids to be raped. It's as simple as that, because that's what she facilitates. Whatever you facilitate, is that what you want? And these people love to put your kids in the womb. So why would they care if they're raped? Gavin Newsom and Senator Wiener in California? Why would they lower the penalties on criminals who anally rape kids? Why would you do that? Why would you lower the penalties for anally raping a 14-year-old in the state of California, Gavin Newsom? That's the first thing. If he runs for president, J.D. Vance needs to ask him. Massachusetts is the only state that frequently releases illegal aliens charged with aggravated child rape and refuses to cooperate with ICE on detainer requests. Why would you not? Why would you not cooperate with ICE to detain a child aggravated rapist? Why would you do that? I could talk about this for half an hour. I'm not going to do it. It's already 9:45, which I can't believe it's 9:45. All right, Tucker Carlson network video. Tucker calls out Republican. We don't need to forget these people, all because they've jumped on the Trump train now. If anything went, nothing's going to, but if anything went south for Trump, Johnny Cornyn would come out and be like, yeah, I never really supported the guy anyway. Steve Bannon talks about this on those dark days, right before Trump left D.C., after losing the election to Joe Biden. It's funny, Aaron, someone put in your waterline 46 puts James Bond in there about the 23andMe stuff.
Yeah.
Same thing, yeah. I refuse to watch that one. You're going to kill off James Bond? I'm not watching. So anyway, I love the Daniel Craig ones. Those are my favorites. But Steve Bannon talks about those dark days. Nobody was there. No support. Nobody. And he goes, now, yeah, we want them back because we want the support. But those same people, it's the same thing as COVID-caving pastors and COVID-caving politicians. If they put the heat on them enough, they'll cave again because none of them have repented. None of them. If you know somebody's repenting when they come out and say, I was wrong and I never should have done it. But nobody's done that. All right, so Tucker calls out Republican Senator John Cornyn for his lack of support of the wall. Play it for me.
So why not pass a law that says anyone, any elected official who opposes the building of a border wall is prohibited from putting a lock on the front door of his house?
Well, that would affect a lot of Republicans. I mean, my own senator, John Cornyn, because he's been against the border wall, saying it wouldn't work. But we all know that walls do work. I've seen it. I've seen how it works. The Border Patrol.
Why would John Cornyn be opposed to a border wall protecting his own state?
I don't understand it. I've seen quotes from him. I've seen video clips from him over and over how it's not enough. It doesn't work.
But he's helped appropriate billions and billions and billions of dollars for border security in other countries.
I know. It's really odd that he thinks it works other places, but it doesn't work in Texas. He's sort of mocked it.
I'd love to hear him mock Israel's border walls. Do you think he will?
No.
I'd love to hear him mock Ukraine's territorial integrity. Do you think he will?
Nope.
I love the statement, walls don't work. How do you know? How do you know they don't work? And certainly, what do you mean by not work? Would they 100% stop illegal immigration? Oh, no. But what if they stop 84% of it? And Trump, without a wall, has cut our legal immigration down by 93%. 7% is left. 7%. That was over a week ago that I put out the 93%. So it's probably more than that now. Probably 98% shut down now. How would he know that walls don't work? How would he know? They certainly work in his home, don't they, Aaron?
Hell yeah.
Nobody gets anybody to get into John Cornyn's home, so that wall works. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it work? And we've chronicled on this show before, whether it's Eagle Pass, Shelby Park, Texas, John Cornyn's own state, 4,000 illegal border crossings per day in Shelby Park alone at Eagle Pass. 4,000 a day! They put up razor wire. What did it go down to, Aaron?
Zero.
Zero. So walls don't work. What an idiot. What a stupid moron. You're like, Tom, he's on our side right now. He is only on our side for a while. Like a lame foot or a bad tooth is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble. So that's Proverbs. But anyway, just think about that. Because if the heat's on, Johnny go bye-bye. Because Johnny only cares about a couple things. Johnny and being reelected. And the money that flows into Johnny from being a senator. That's what Johnny cares about. Hey, Tom, will you accept his support right now? Yeah, he's confirming our nominees. Good job. You know why he's confirming our nominees? Do you think he'd be confirming our nominees if it wasn't politically expedient to do so? All that matters to these people is expediency. What will benefit my political career? Not what's right, not what's wrong, not what's on God's side and what's on the devil's side. None of that matters to them. What's expedient is all politically expedient. That's all that matters to them. This is a great. I put this in the pregame, but it's too good not to play again. I think I put it in the pregame. Maybe I didn't. All right, Jorge Bonilla video at Scott Jennings talking about walls here. So they ended up with a Catholic priest. I don't know if he's lives in the Vatican or goes back and forth the Vatican, whatever. So this Catholic priest is on CNN and makes the mistake of talking about walls with Scott Jennings. Play for me.
We live under laws. I was researching this before I came out. I read a headline, Father, from January 15th. Quote, Vatican cracks down on illegal entry into its territory. You've had a wall around it since the 9th century, and you have the most draconian immigration laws in Europe. The lectures, I understand as a matter of
the Pope
the theology,
has invited migrants into the Vatican to sleep and has cared for them within the walls of the Vatican. They
saying,
live
January
inside
15th. The wasn't walls. That long ago.
So they have the harshest laws in the European Union against illegals. They actually put out an initiative recently to crack down on illegal problems inside of the Vatican. But on January 15th of this year, they decide they're going to house some. And they lecture you. You get all the lectures from the Pope about let's build a bigger table instead of build bigger walls. You get lectures from people with giant walls about us not having a wall and opening up our borders when they have the harshest illegal immigration laws in the EU because the Vatican is its own country, and they just put out an initiative recently about cracking down on any illegal entries into the Vatican. But to butt cover, they put out, just like the Biden administration didn't give two craps about illegal entries until the summer of 2024, and then you have the Bidens try to shut, and by the way, they did. At least by their numbers, which you can't believe. Suddenly, Biden, who said you can't unilaterally shut down the border, unilaterally shuts down the border right before the election. That's weird, isn't it? And now the Vatican suddenly, because they know that there's way more media sources than CNN, and I'm very grateful that Scott Jennings is out there, and all of us now are shining the light on the hypocrisy coming from the Vatican. Open your borders. Open the borders. It is immoral and it is ungodly for you to shut down your borders when their border is the most shut down border on the globe. It's time for the hypocrisy to be shown. I have to show you this. This may bore some of you. I don't know. It's awesome. But it's more on the border. But this is an example. In England, of course, it also applies to America. Seeing is believing, as we just saw, where Kristi Noem had to claw back $59 million sent. And then, the head of FEMA got fired for doing it for sidestepping. Well, not a sidestepping. That's too soft. Ignoring the Trump orders about not sending that money. $59 million to New York for the Roosevelt Hotel so that illegals can stay in a hotel that you could never afford. Right? And that was just done. FEMA directors fired for it. But this has already been happening in England. And listen to this example, seeing is believing video. A Cornwall hotel owner has told GB News why he turned down a considerable amount of money to house hundreds of migrants in his establishment. Play for me, Will.
You refused a request from the Home Office to house migrants. What did they offer you and why did you turn it down?
Well, it was a considerable amount of money, Beverly. It was probably double what we would normally make on a good year. Because they offered full occupancy on a rolling contract for a year.
So how does that work? Somebody literally just picks up the phone to you, or do they send you a letter?
They sent us a letter first.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I thought it was a joke. And
Because of the amount of money they were offering?
Well, I just couldn't believe that the government wanted to put, illegal migrants up in four-poster beds at Camelot Castle. I mean, it was absolutely remarkable. It would have destroyed the village because one of the things they said is to lay off all the staff and all but two because they do meals
on wheels.
They do meals on wheels. You clean the rooms once a week.
You're probably a big employer in the village.
Well, a major employer in the village and locally. And, of course, those jobs in a village like Tintagel, they wouldn't be replaced.
No.
So, but also they would have stacked the place up with about 300 people. And, you then have those people wandering around the village. I don't know whether they intended to contain them or whether they would be allowed out and about. I know in other areas, certainly hotels in Newquay have had some serious problems because there were a few hotels that did take the migrants there.
Presumably people who stay at your hotel then spend their money in the village?
Well, of course they do. They do spend their money there, and it would have destroyed the local economy. It's hard to say how many hundreds of thousands of pounds our guests spend in the village, but certainly a fair amount. But it's also the cultural degradation that goes along with this.
See, this guy actually sees big picture. He actually sees what will happen if I do this. All the Republicans and Democrats, primarily Democrats, they don't see these things. They don't see big picture. Rhino Republicans don't see big picture. People are always capitulating and cooperating. Don't see big picture, Republican or Democrat. Big picture is, yeah, you know what? He'll make a big chunk of money, full occupancy for 1 year. Yeah, you'll get all that money for 1 year, but after that year, you have no business and no local economy. That's actually seeing big picture. It's just like these cuts that have to happen to the government. Otherwise, you might get government employees who get their paycheck for a year, maybe 5 years, but after the 5 years, there is no United States, but you got your pay that day. It's seeing big picture. You're $36 trillion in debt, and you get your own today, but nothing tomorrow. But you get your own day, and you'll fight for it today. It's like all the Democrats. They're fighting for it because, again, to put out the symbiote that we put out every show right now, because we're always talking about Doge, is, yes, you're getting your money now because, and again, it just pains me to even talk about it, but our taxpayer dollars go to NGOs or organizations that employ all Democrats in six-figure salaries, employ all Democrats, six-figure salaries. That money is then donated to Democratic Party causes, which also employ more Democrats. And then it's NGO to NGO. And one NGO donates to another, then for plausible deniability, then it gets donated to a Democratic Party campaign, say $8 million to a Democratic Party campaign, life-changing money. And the candidate simply employs his wife to run a foundation using that money. So now they become multimillionaires. That is all that's been going on in our country. That's why we're $36 trillion in debt, nearly $37 trillion in debt. But this guy actually sees big picture. You have 300 occupants for the entire year. And by the way, who knows how many he'd actually have? He's being paid for that. And Great Britain, just like us, is freaking broke and in massive debt. But they're gonna pay for it. That's a freaking castle. They're gonna pay that guy full. It's probably very expensive to stay at a castle. They're gonna pay him 300 occupants for an entire year. But he has to lay off his entire staff because they don't need anybody to clean rooms. Because now the government's gonna do it, and they don't need anybody to make meals because they're gonna bring in Meals on Wheels meals for the immigrants. How can anybody vote for this giant steaming pile of crap? But people do. Amazing. And then the damage to the local economy, because now all these illegals have no money to spend in the local economy. Usually they're rich or semi-rich people staying at this castle, and they go into the local town and spend hundreds of thousands of pounds of money. All right, let's go to the next thing. Let's go to Doge now. Peter St. Ange video. Congress finds $516 billion, that's with a B, get this now, of federal spending went to expired programs that no longer have congressional authority. Play for me, Will.
A new bombshell report from Congress itself finds that $516 billion of annual federal spending goes to programs whose legal authority from Congress has expired. In some cases, it expired 40 years ago. Now, for perspective, $516 billion is roughly 7 times the income tax paid by the bottom half of Americans on expired programs. The study is from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, which finds 2,500 expired appropriations that continue getting funded like zombies by Congress. So when Congress creates a program or agency, it has to give it legal permission called authorization. This sets the goals, objectives, and limitations of each program or agency. It's often for a fixed period, after which technically Congress no longer legally recognizes the program for funding, unless it is reauthorized, which requires a fresh vote by Congress. Now that matters because the fresh vote is where Congress has to take responsibility for the program. Is it actually achieving its goals and objective? Being the federal government, the answer is almost certainly no. So instead, Congress just keeps the money flowing and nobody says nothing. It's shady, but it also means obsolete programs keep getting funding, apparently for generations. The programs are pretty much what you'd expect. $94 billion on, quote, education and workforce, including $10 billion for, quote, workforce innovation and $8 billion for left-wing universities. $62 billion on, quote, foreign affairs, which we are now seeing from USAID is almost entirely grift. $32 billion in, quote, science, space, and technology. You may remember them back when you couldn't use the word vaccine online. $53 billion in, quote, financial services, so no Wall Street bankers left behind. And $53 billion in expired programs of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice to keep Patriot Front in clean pants.
$53 billion for Homeland Security and the Department of Justice. Don't they already receive other appropriations and we're appropriating them again? And $94 billion for some sort of educational workforce? What is that? $8 billion to universities. We're wondering why they have these giant endowment programs. And then they just end up being propagandist organizations that solely and completely operate on DEI. And they never really have to worry about having a certain amount of students because you and I are paying for them anyway. Even if Harvard had no students, they got billions in the bank because you and I are giving it to them every year. $53 billion for financial institutions? What does that even mean? And by the way, these are expired programs. Some of them have been expired for 40 years. They have never been authorized because they have an expiration date. And when they expire, they have to be reauthorized. 25 expired appropriations. 2,500 of these programs, 2,500 of them have expired appropriations. So they have no authority at all. They are no longer authorized, but yet we are still sending $516 billion to them. They all have to be authorized, but they haven't been reauthorized because there's actually a congressional duty that has to be done for these programs to receive appropriations. And it's called authorization. And none of these programs are authorized. 2,500 of them have expired and have never been reauthorized, yet they're still being sent $516 billion a year. That's half a trillion dollars per year going to programs that do nothing and aren't even authorized. Congress doesn't even officially recognize them, but yet they're still funding them. Go to the next one for me, Will. Sully tweet, American taxpayers pay $10 billion maintaining empty buildings. Man, that makes me feel good. $10 billion to maintain empty buildings that aren't being used and never will be used. We spent $3.3 billion on high-end furniture for those empty buildings. And a whopping $250K each on $10 billion worth of buildings, $250,000 on each. How many? And of course, federal government, as we found out, owns 300,000 buildings. No, Tom, you must mean 3,000. No, I mean 300,000 buildings. Divide that into the states. Aaron did it for me. Can't remember the math. About how many there are in each state. It's like 6,000 per state, something like that.
6,000.
6,000 buildings per state the federal government owns. And they basically own from Kansas to the west in actual landmass in the United States of America, including most of Alaska. $250,000 each on solar-powered umbrellas. You and I are paying for 300,000 buildings to have $250,000 worth of solar-paneled umbrellas that nobody sits under. And like, Tom, this gets old after a while. This is what needs to be read to Democrats at congressional hearings when they balk and squawk about DOGE violating the Constitution and not following usual procedural etiquette. Who gives a crap when you and I are paying for $250,000 per federal building for solar-powered umbrellas? I don't even know what a solar-powered umbrella does. Does it melt snow as it falls? What does it do? All right, Kyle Becker video just in USAID. Protesters crash a House hearing. I played this at the beginning, but in the pregame. But the response by Brian Mast is unreal. Play it for me.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to testify before this committee. My name is Max Primorac. I am a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. I previously served at the U.S. Agency for International...
PEPFAR saves lives! Restore AIDS funding now! PEPFAR saves lives! Restore AIDS funding now! PEPFAR saves lives! Restore AIDS funding now!
PEPFAR saves lives! Restore all AIDS funding now! PEPFAR saves lives! Restore all AIDS funding now! PEPFAR saves lives! Restore all AIDS funding now! PEPFAR saves lives!
Restore all AIDS funding now! PEPFAR saves lives!
Restore AIDS funding now! PEPFAR saves lives!
I guess these guys don't watch the news. They didn't realize that PEPFAR was one of the many programs that did prove to be life-saving. So the funding was restored. Somebody better give them a link to, maybe Fox News or something like that. You may resume your opening statement.
What a bunch of idiots. Again, it's just like Mitch McConnell. Here's your talking points. RFK Jr. is a vaccine conspiracy theorist. So Mitch McConnell dutifully bent over, reads it. Same thing with these idiots. They're just like Nazi soldiers. There's Nazi Gestapo soldiers. Here's your marching orders. March. And they'll just do it without ever asking anything. All right, Libs, the TikTok video. Is that where I'm at, Will? Am I somewhere? Yeah, okay. Libs, yeah. TikTok video. Just then, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin and Doge just canceled a $50 million environmental justice grant to the Climate Justice Alliance, which believes climate justice travels through, quoting them, climate justice travels through a free Palestine. So if you want lower CO2 emissions, Palestinians must have their own state. Play for me, Will.
Ecological warfare is a tool of colonialism. In every colonized place, there are ecological, political, and human crises compounded by the climate crisis. And so it matters when you start the clock of history. History doesn't just determine how you tell the story of the problem. It determines how we imagine our solutions. Climate change did not begin with the burning of fossil fuels. It began with settler colonialism, imperialism, and extractivism. Similarly, with Palestine, if you start the clock of history at settler colonialism and the British Empire, a new set of liberatory solutions appear. The path to climate justice travels through a free Palestine because both issues reflect the root causes of the crises we are all in.
I would love to see the science behind lowering CO2 emissions by freeing Palestine, which, by the way, we had higher CO2 emissions long before we ever burned 1 ounce of fossil fuels. And they even acknowledge, you heard it in the video, this idiot, from the Climate Justice Alliance. That's their own video that I just played that just lost $50 million. And that means they're finished because you and I have been paying for them out of our taxpayer dollars for I don't know how many years, at least four under the Biden administration. But he just acknowledged on the video that climate change, which doesn't exist, did not begin with the burning of fossil fuels. Then why do we need to limit the burning of fossil fuels then if it didn't begin with the burning of fossil fuels? But yet all the left-hard morons will still go out and say climate change is caused by the burning of fossil fuels, even though there is no climate change. And even though the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere is 0.04%, and it has been determined that all of our alleged burning contributes 1% to the 0.04%, and the rest of it, 97% of that 0.04%, is naturally occurring. So they attack 3%, saying that you and I need to lower our CO2 emissions. What are you going to do about all the rest of it? The 97%, because again, it has nothing to do with lowering CO2 emissions. As all the globalist morons fly over to Glasgow every year and to Davos every year for the World Economic Forum and the World Climate Summit in Glasgow, Scotland. They fly over in their private jets because they know CO2 is not a problem, but they're going to use it to leverage you into a one world commerce system with a single access point controlled by them. That's the point of it all. Right out of the Book of Revelation. Book of Revelation is going to happen. It's going to happen. You and I need to hold on to our own generation, which we can. You and I can hold back. You and I can hold back the coming of Beast 1 and Beast 2, the Antichrist. All right, Girl Patriot video. Back onto some Doge stuff. Doge are American heroes. Play for me, Will.
This is Luke Farader, a 23-year-old kid from Nebraska working with Elon Musk and Doge to cut wasteful government spending. And last year, he was awarded $700,000 for deciphering an ancient scroll using AI. The scroll was damaged during the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, and Luke, with a few classmates, used 3D scans and machine learning to virtually uncrumple the scroll and decipher it. This not only caught the attention of the AI community, but Peter Thiel, who awarded Luke $100,000 to become a Thiel Fellow, where young entrepreneurs are encouraged to pursue their passion fashion, like the Ethereum founder and Figma founder. But Luke's now been recruited to work at Doge, where the team's been sleeping in the office, crunching code, and working around the clock to identify waste, fraud, and abuse. And Doge has been under fire for their young age, with people saying they're not qualified. However, Elon seems to disagree, saying we need young guys with a fresh perspective to bring down the machine. And if this kid's smart enough to decipher ancient scrolls with AI, he might be able to crack the government spending problem. What do you think?
Elon Musk does have a security clearance. He has a top secret security clearance. By God, he makes the rockets for NASA. But the suggestion that he somehow can't be trusted to dig into how we're spending our money is nothing but a smokescreen to hide the corruption and the wasteful spending that has occurred there. And I am personally offended at the left's continued references to 19-year-olds and 21-year-olds in their doing work. There are 19-year-olds who have won the Medal of Honor defending this country. Just because you're 19 doesn't mean you're some child who can't be trusted. It is offensive. And if you're 19 years old out there, 20 years old, and you're serving this country, by God, your service matters. Keep serving. We thank you for that.
Awesome job, Representative Mark Green. Just awesome, awesome rant right there. But anyway, I love the one part. Elon Musk does have a top secret security clearance. More so than Lizzie Warren, he builds the rockets for NASA. And they're worried about Elon Musk has access to our Social Security information. What is your Social Security information? What exactly is your Social Security information? What is it? Well, I mean, what it is how much you contribute to Social Security. And by the way, they don't even have access to that. They have only read-only access. They don't have any access to your personal data. That's all bull-faced lies. Imagine being a Democrat and you just lie for a living and sleep like a baby at night. You'll burn in hell for all of eternity, by the way. I mean, you just read Revelation 21:8. God has a specific disdain for all, quote, liars. And that's all they do. Yeah. And why, by the way, Elon Musk has more of a clearance than the regular people reading about your Social Security information.
Yeah.
He has more of a clearance than they do. So concerned about Elon Musk, he has a top secret security clearance. And he's reading your Social Security information, which, again, he's not. That's a lie, too. But just in case he was. And the people who are actually reading your Social Security administration, your Social Security information are sworn-in Treasury agents. I can't say sworn-in Treasury agents. They are Treasury. They work for the Treasury. Treasury employees who have access, have been granted legal access to all that information. They're the ones doing the work in the Treasury. So, I mean, imagine if you're a Democrat and you're watching this right now, you need to repent of being a Democrat. You're either a disgusting, repulsive liar yourself, or you're following one. Speaking of that, look at this guy, Harry Sisson, of course. He has nothing to do now because Kamala Harris got trounced by Donald Trump. You put that up for him, Harry Sisson tweet. That is right, twit. Harry Sisson twit. So Elon Musk and Tesla got a $400 million government contract. Wow, while he's cutting all these people, he gets a contract. That's what Harry says. They put out a video today that Trump was wandering around the Oval Office and didn't know he was supposed to stay for Tulsi Gabbard's swearing ceremony. They put out a video of him he was never wandering, simply walking out that funky Oval Office door that's actually partially circular. It was all a lie. It was just made up, and it got debunked immediately, and it was Donald Trump leaving after the swearing ceremony. Yeah. That's what it was. It's all lies, and this is what Harry's doing here. $400 million government contract from the State Department, but funding for cancer research and malaria drugs gets cut. So here comes the drama built on a lie. Go to the next one for me. But the older millennial has a response for this. Play it for me.
Y'all remember when I told you that Harry usually debunks himself in his own video because he refuses to read? Here, he debunks himself and reads and still doesn't notice.
Donald Trump's State Department is awarding Tesla, one of Elon Musk's companies, a $400 million government contract.
Now, instead of me debunking him, I'm going to let him do it himself.
State Department's procurement forecast, revised as of late December 2024, lists Tesla as the recipient of the largest expected contract.
Did y'all catch the date on that one?
Late December 2024.
Harry, who was president in December of 2024? Yeah, that was Biden's administration that listed Tesla as the recipient. By the way, the Trump administration has removed that and put it up to open bid. But it is for an armored EV. The number one EV manufacturer is obviously in the running. But yeah, the Biden administration did that in 2024. Trump took it away, yet you're still trying to blame Trump for it. Liberal logic is fun.
Do you ever notice how Republicans or conservatives never put out videos like Harry Sisson does? And Harry Sisson is no different than Mehdi Hasan. He is no different than CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, Brian Stelter, Jake Tapper, any of them. He's no different than any of them because they all simply lie to propagandize for the Democratic Party and are receiving USAID funding. Many of them are. I can't say that, you know, like Tapper is. And by the way, it's never direct funding. Everyone always needs to remember that. There's a lot of Democrats are receiving money from USAID. No, they're receiving money from NGOs that receive money from USAID. We always need to be specific. And I just love how he was debunked there, that the older millennial says, usually Harry Sisson debunks himself because he doesn't read. And this time he debunks himself as he reads. That Elon Musk received this contract in December of 2024 under the Biden administration, after Harry Sisson says, so Elon Musk received a $400 million contract from Donald Trump as he cuts cancer research. I mean, imagine that. Imagine you are somebody, I know that a lot of the 1,100 people that are watching right now, probably zero are Democrats, and all the people that are watching right now are red-pilled, but maybe you're one that's watching right now, and you're a Democrat. How can you actually be a Democrat? How can you justify yourself as a Democrat? Everything that man just put out was a bold-faced lie. Everything he put out. Elon Musk received that contract under the Biden administration. And by the way, Donald Trump has revoked the contract and put it up for open bid. Why wasn't that part of Harry Sisson's little dissertation? Amazing. I mean, really is amazing. I'm trying to figure out. It's 10:16. I'm trying to figure out where to go here. Yeah, skip that one. We'll skip this next one. Mm-hmm. And go to Squirrel Mama. I have to show you this because it's funny. I'm just going to amuse myself here in the last 5 minutes of the show or so here. All right, Squirrel Mom, and I know I'm supposed to stop. I'm supposed to stop at 10 o'clock, but I can't seem to do it. It's like today I sent in a bunch of stuff to the podcast. I sent it in to Aaron and Will, and I honestly thought I'd send in like 12 things, and I was like 48. I mean, in my mind, too, I'm not lying. I really think there's very few. And I honestly think that I'll get done every night, too, but I just it didn't happen. But anyway, Squirrel Mama video, she drives a 2024 BMW and has taxpayers paying her bills. Play it for me.
I got a DHS letter in the mail this morning, and I just now opened it. And somebody reported me to the state of Michigan because I'm making money on TikTok, and I drive a 2024 BMW. They have cut my food stamps from almost $4,000 a month down to $88 a month. They are telling me if I want a review that I have to sell my car. So you're telling me if you are on welfare, food stamps, cash assistance, Section 8, you can't drive a nice car? They are forcing me to sell my brand new BMW, or I lose almost $4,000 in food stamps. Not only that, they have taken my cash assistance totally away. They are telling me that Section 8 will no longer be paying 95% of my rent, only 10% of my rent. So I will have to pay a little over $400 a month now instead of $60 a month.
It looks like the Doge got you too, boo.
You've been doged. Good. You know, that's how it should be. You can afford a 2024 BMW. Will shouldn't be sending his taxpayer dollars. Either should I or the 1,100 people that are watching this podcast right now. So she's been dozing. You look at the picture behind her, it looks like she's popping out puppies, too, that you and I are paying for. DHS is forcing me to sell my 2024 BMW, or my food stamps get cut from $4,000 a month.
Holy cow.
Okay, that's not my food bill a month. I've got a family of four adults living in my house right now. That's not my four. Is that yours, Aaron?
No.
I mean, I'd say it's somewhere between $300 and $400 a week, so $1,600 maybe a month at high end.
That's per year.
She She gets $48,000 a year in food stamps. That's more than the average household income is $53,000. That's household income. So that's more than most Americans make in a year. She gets in food, and she's popping out puppies to her upper left shoulder. They also cut my cash payments. So she gets $48,000 a year for food only. All right. And also, they cut my cash benefits, telling me Section 8 will no longer pay 95% of my rent. Why does she work?
That's
and
so
she's
much
buying
money.
A 2024 BMW. What are you saying there?
That's so much money. It's paying 95% of her rent. It's paying $4,000 a month for food.
Yeah, $4,000 a month for
and
food.
And then cash.
Yeah, and then cash for rent. Her rent's probably, let's say her rent's $2,000 a month. So that would be another 24 on top of the 48, which is $72,000 a year this chick makes, a minimum. And she's making money off of TikTok to the place where she can buy a 2024 BMW, yet we're still, Aaron, do you have that clock?
Yeah.
You wonder why it looks like this? Because of skanks like that who have her mouth on the teat of the American government. I put that clock back up. So I just want let's play our game in closing tonight, shall we? So here we are.
So depressing.
36 minutes. Now look at the Doge clock to the bottom right, which I never discussed last night. That's what Doge is adding. Look, Doge is adding up a lot. $92 billion they've rounded up already. But let's play $1 million game tonight, shall we? It's 36,476,724,600,700,000 in debt. So let's play the game here. Ready? I'm going to start right at the bottom line. Let's look at $1 million go. Now here's $1 million. $100,000 is gone. $200,000 gone. $300,000 gone. $400,000 you just paid. $500,000. $600,000 more in debt. $700,000 more in debt. $800,000 more in debt. $900,000 more in debt. And now we just added $1 million to our debt. And what was that, Aaron?
Maybe 21 seconds.
21 seconds we added $1 million in debt. Because of skanks like that with her toothless mouth on the teat of the taxpayer. All right, 1021, man. I got to make these shows shorter. Tammy L. Margretter, we're the sole person, the matriarch of the Rumble Rant in the Rumble Rant tonight. Love you, Tammy. Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody in the chat. Stick around for the post game. We are back here tomorrow night, as always, with another rant from 9 to 10. 21. I love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Like I said, stick around for the post game. See you tomorrow night at 9 p.m. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.